Good evening.
John.
The people in the sound booth do a really good job with so many things, working on things, helping us do things better. I now have the slide that I'm on and the next one right up here. So that's way cool. Mary and Martha Stewart. Now, here we go. Let's let Edwin convince himself that he's really old. How many people know who Martha Stewart is? Okay, that's encouraging. I appreciate that. Martha Stewart was everything that had to do with homemaking, right? I mean, there wasn't anything that went on in the home that Martha didn't have something to do with. She was on TV. She had a line of stuff. Bless her heart, she got a little greedy, though, didn't she? And what in the world is this? Stream is no longer available. What kind of thing is that? We'll see if that works. Looks like it works. Excuse me. No longer available. Oh, well. They're still doing it up there. See how quickly I recover from that? Martha ran afoul of the IRS. And so she's not as much in the news as she used to be. But since Mary and Martha in the Bible, Martha was the Martha Stewart type person, right? She was taking care of business around the home, Lazarus' home, when Jesus visited. And let's just renew our attention to this account in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, beginning. Now, when they were traveling along, he entered a village. A woman named Martha welcomed him into her home, very hospitable. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his words. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." She's assuming that he is concerned and that he will say, "Hey, come on, Mary, let's get with this." But the Lord answered, said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." And so that's the story, and we're familiar with it. Now, preachers preach on this. I preached on this. And every time I have ever preached on it, any time I've ever taught it in class, any time. So don't do this, okay? Women pass by, and you know what they say? You shouldn't get after Martha. I'm not getting after Martha. Jesus did. I appreciate the Marthas of this world. I do. And in the Bible, older women are to teach younger women, and one of the things is to be keepers at home. So this is not a small thing. That doesn't mean that women can't work outside the home. Proverbs 31 doesn't mean that men can't do stuff around the home, because that's part of it too. But culturally, back then, even more than now, they were taking care of the house was more the woman's role. And Martha, I'm thinking she does this very well. I think Martha's got a really orderly house. And she's wanting Jesus to come in. By the way, when we go to John 11 and we find Martha and Mary again, Martha's actually looking better than Mary there. So all you Marthas out there, Martha gets time. And what's Mary doing? She's listening to Jesus. And so Martha's upset. I can understand that. Can't you understand that? You ever been doing something while somebody's standing around, not doing anything, and you're wondering, what's up with that? Why aren't they helping me? And I'm sure this is what Martha is doing. She's, what? Mary, there she goes again. stuff to do. We got a guest in the house, for goodness sakes. So how's about we take care of business? And Jesus chides her. Now that's where things start getting really interesting with regard to that. The flaw in the system. The slide does not advance. Whoops, it's advanced too much. Okay. Martha allowed a good thing to distract her from the best thing. It's not like that isn't a problem. In fact, there's a certain attraction to keep us on doing things that we can say, well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And it may well be. This is a good thing. But how many better and best things never get addressed because we've settled for something less than what we should? Now, there's going to be a time and a place for what Martha is doing. Ecclesiastes has Solomon talking about there's a time and a purpose for everything under heaven. And he lists all kinds of things that have a certain appropriateness depending upon what time calls for what. There can be some times when you need to be joyful and sometimes when you need to be sad, and you don't need to mix those up. And that's just kind of how life works. So figuring out what's the need of the moment. At some point, somebody's got to do what Martha's doing because you've got people there and you need to tend to these things. But how many opportunities would they have to have Jesus right there in the house teaching? And Mary is there at his feet. So we can be distracted. Mary chose... I missed a slide. It's okay. Mary chose the best. Mary chose the best. Why? And here's where we got to remind ourselves. We talk about it a lot here, but it's easy to forget about it. It is. In John 14, verses 8 and 9, we talked about this a little today. We're kind of bringing some things together between our lesson this morning, our lesson tonight, where Philip wants to know, well, show us the Father. That'll be enough for us. He's missed the point. He's been, if you will, distracted by other things. Many of the things were quite good, and I'm sure he's very happy to have been with Jesus, and he's very happy to have seen and heard the things that he's seen and heard, but he hadn't realized the significance of those things. Show us the Father. It's enough for us. Have I been with you so long, and yet you've not seen me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. We need to understand that when we're looking at Jesus, he's out and about. He's with people. He's doing stuff that people do. He's a person of the people. That when we see that, that's God. Now we can go to Isaiah 6 and we can see this is Jehovah high and lifted up in the temple, and Jeremiah is undone. And woe is me, for I'm undone, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And yes, that's part of it. We could take the burning bush. When Moses sees that bush and it's on fire and it's not being consumed, and he wants to go see what's up with that, and as he approaches the bush, what is he told to do? Take off your shoes, because the ground that you're on is holy ground. We find later on that that's an angel representing God in the bush. Jesus isn't an angel representing God. Jesus is God with us. All the fullness of deity, Paul wrote to the Colossians, is in him in bodily form. And guess what? I don't want to take away from what I've just said, but I do want to make this point because it's so important for everyday life. They were with him every day and they kept their sandals on. They were with him every day in all the things that happen every day. And yet, they were not like, oh, we can't have anything to do with this man. Simon Peter tried that. Remember the fishing boat? Remember when he's there and he realizes it just dawns on him with all these fish flapping about and all this huge catch coming in, and how, depart from me, O Lord, for I'm a sinful man. And Jesus doesn't want him to depart. Jehovah didn't want Isaiah to depart. So as with Isaiah, so with Simon Peter, let me tell you about putting what's the problem to the side, sin. And so Jesus is letting Peter know we can take care of the problem. And you're not going to be doing me any good if you don't feel like you can do anything because you're a sinful man and I'm God with you and you just can't deal with that. Jesus is saying, I want you to deal with it. And I'm going to do what I need to do in order for you to deal with it. So, when we think about everyday life, there's a lot of mundane stuff we do, right? Everyday things. What do we talk about this morning? That we need to ask ourselves, what does it look like if Jesus were doing it? And how would we know that unless we learned? And what's Mary doing? She's learning from Jesus. So we've got to spend time at Jesus' feet before we get out and do the mundane things of life, the things that need to be done. Somebody's got to do them, and we're supposed to do them, but we got to figure out how to do them best. And for that, we need to spend time with Jesus. In John 17 and 3, as Jesus is beginning that great high priestly prayer, that he's about to die. He's about to be arrested. And he says, this is eternal life. Now, if we didn't know what he's going to say next, we would probably come up with the wrong answer. This is eternal life. And to sum up what he says, eternal life is to know the Father and the Son, to know them. Because we can't be like them, which is what we're supposed to do in this world. We can't be like them if we don't know them. And so it is very important. And Mary understood that. She's learning by sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, as Christians, our greatest challenge, I think, is not necessarily, some it will be, but generally speaking, I don't think it is the case that our greatest challenge is we've got some sin that we're constantly having to fight all the time. It takes up all our attention, all our energy, all that. Where we really mess up, it's not because we're trying to, it's not because we're even aware of it sometimes, is we have misplaced priorities. We choose good over the best. And best is what best serves the kingdom at this point in time. And so how are we going to know that unless we know Jesus? How do we know how to make those decisions, to sort those things out, to give weight to some things and not so much weight to other things? How in the world are we just going to intuitively know that? Because it's not intuitive. Jesus isn't what we are intuitively. He is something that we're supposed to put ourselves to the side so we can be like him. And so we have, consequently, the mind of Christ. So our greatest challenge is to be aware. Don't be on cruise control and just kind of go through life and, well, I'm not doing anything bad. What about good? What distinguishes the moment for Jesus' sake? And all those things that we're doing in life, what can we do to cause people to look at that and not praise us, but praise God? You know, that's the way to live. That's the way to do. So we need to be able to make effective and good choices. And in that, let's just think about this for just a moment. What are we going to do about that, practically speaking? We've talked about it, but let's talk about it a little bit more. Let's get real specific about it. How much time do we spend in the Gospels? How would we get to know Jesus, really get to know him, everyday life, decisions he makes, things he doesn't do? How would we really get to know him if we don't get to know him through the Gospels? Well, the answer would be pretty simple. We don't. In fact, when we go to the epistles and they're talking about Jesus all the time, I mean, we can't go very many verses, and sometimes more than once in a verse when we're not talking about Jesus and we're not having people talk about Jesus. Who are they talking about? If we don't know the Jesus of the Gospels, he's a disembodied spirit. He's this name that really is important and really insignificant, but we don't associate with it. We don't attach to it the things that God wants us to. And that's why he came and lived among us to show us what it looks like. So, a challenge to us. One of the things I want to do for next year for our reading schedule is have us spend the whole year reading from the Gospels. Okay? You know what that will do? Among other things, it will help us to just spend the time with it. But you know what else it'll do? Because the Gospels is like that, and the Bible's like that, and if our Bible reading program is that, you ever feel kind of got to get through this, got to do this, got to do that, time to read this, time to read that, got 10 chapters to go, and not so much time to think about it? I want us to have time to have a chunk that we can spend some time on and think about so that we will familiarize ourselves better with Jesus. There's all kinds of things we can do. Let's see, what's happened recently? We got camp. Great thing. Camp's great. VBS. Yes, 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 yes. Had many people working in that. You're so appreciated. Well, what about the special needs VBS? Yeah, that is really, really, really a good thing. We got things to do this month in particular. Things, things, things. Life tends to be that way. We need to take the time to think about, who is this Jesus? I use his name. I know facts about him. Do I know him? How do we get to know people? We spend time with them. Isn't that right? How do we get to know, if we're married, our mates? We spend time with them. We can finish the sentences that they start, right? We can anticipate the answers as the question is asked. Why? Because we know. We can be that way with Jesus, but it won't be by accident. It won't be by intuition. It will be because we take the time to spend the time to be with him. So you don't have to wait till January to do that. Set aside in your Bible reading time with Jesus. Jesus time. We talk about that Jesus is the center of everything. Before him, everything was pointing to him. After him, everything points back to him. What about when he's here? And he pulls all the pieces together. So, I don't know how you best deal with the material you read and what you do to keep it where it works for you. You might take notes. You might put them in the side of your Bible. You might journal. I don't know. But you know what we need to be able to do with Jesus? Psalm number 1. What, in a positive way, distinguishes the person in Psalm 1? What does he do? Does he meditate on anything? How often does he meditate on God's Word? Day and night. Do you know what? That person didn't have a bunch of scrolls at the house. That person had to listen to things being said about Jesus so that they could take those things to heart and take them away, because they weren't going to be able to take one of these with them after they left. Our verse that we used this morning that I think is the most significant personal work evangelism verse, 1 Peter 3:15. Christ sanctified in the heart. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart. How do we do that? We take him in by reading and meditating. I had a friend. When we moved from Marietta, Ohio, back to Alabama, they had a guy from the congregation who, from Marietta, Ohio to Liberty Congregation outside of Jasper. His name was Vinny. Vinny was an interesting guy. He was a member of the Boilermakers Union, which is an interesting bunch of people all by themselves. And they're kind of rough people, sort of, got a reputation, if you've ever been around them. Well, somewhere, while Vinny was a Boilermaker, he found Jesus. And he became a very devoted man. And one of the things he would do on lunch break, he'd get out his New Testament and he'd read. Now, I will tell you that the other Boilermakers were not reading about Jesus. but he treasured that time and he valued it. So when Vinny comes to pack us up, drive the truck, it's obvious that he has spent time with Jesus. He'll say, back in the days when they call people this, Brother Jones, I was reading Brother Jones, I was thinking about Brother Jones, Brother Jones, Brother Jones. Bible, 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 Bible. Man thought about the Bible. We can put Jesus in our heart. Where if we're driving a truck, driving a car, walking about in the mall, whatever it is, we will have occasion because of the things that are happening to think about Jesus. And be in our flesh what he would have been if he were walking in his flesh. So getting to know him. So I want to challenge myself to do better with this. Sometimes I don't spend as much time with that as I should. Sometimes I don't think about it as much as I really ought to. But I want to challenge each of us to fill ourselves up with the Word of God, to sanctify in our hearts, set aside in our hearts Jesus, and just get the Gospels out, read them, and don't be on a schedule necessarily where you, gotta go to the next reading. But, you know, as Robin Williams might say, suck the marrow out of the reading that you've got and really meditate on it. That's the lesson. Mary must have thought that was pretty important stuff. And so even though she's in a culture where women were very dedicated to taking care of household things and responsibilities, and where she would have stood out, as she obviously did to Martha, when she's not doing the kinds of things that she thinks she ought to. By the way, Mary would have got around to those things. But she's sitting at the feet of Jesus. We can get so distracted, so off point, so into the things that they may be good, that we're so busy doing good things that we don't really spend time with Jesus. I'll close with this illustration that back many years ago, back in the 70s, some of you may recognize this name, there was a fellow by the name of Jim McGuigan. He taught at Sunset. He's written some books. I like his commentaries. I think his Romans commentary is the best one I've ever seen. And Jim was, he did a lot of speaking. I remember the first time I went to see him, he was an Irish guy. And I thought he's some big burly Irish guy. He's a little bitty squeaky voice Irish guy. And he told this illustration. He said, what if my children really think a lot of me? And so they start writing things about how good I am and put them on the walls and all of this. And then they say, you know, we need to share our dad's goodness with our friends. So they start having the people that they go to school with and that they play with. They start talking, let me tell you about our dad. Let me tell you about our dad. And then they get a little older and they start taking up money and they buy buses and they're bringing people in so they can hear about Jim McGuigan and what a great dad he is. But they stop telling me they love me. They stop hugging me. We stop having time together. They're so busy telling people things about me that they forgot about me. We can be so busy talking about things about Jesus that we forget to tell him we love him and to have that kind of a relationship with him. If you're not a Christian, that's the kind of relationship God wants you to have through his son Jesus. Very intimate, very personal. What a friend we have in Jesus. And you know what? The more we get to know him, the easier it is, because he's just such an amazing person. The better we get to know him, the more we want to know more about him, the more we want to think about him. So if you're not a Christian, you're being called to that. Your sins and your iniquities separate you from God. But Jesus died that his blood could cleanse you of your sins. And so he's got that covered. So if you're not a Christian, one of the things I want you to consider this very night is this is the night that I'm going to start that relationship with Jesus and take advantage of the blood that he shed for me as I put him on in baptism. to those of us who are Christians, have we been scurrying about like Martha and neglecting to take the time to get to know the one that it's all about in the first place? You need to respond to the invitation of Jesus. Won't you do so as we stand to sing?